You can turn, if you want to, turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As you know, we're continuing our study of the end time events. We got a little problem this morning since the slides thing is not really working. Rodney, it's not working, right? So there aren't any slides that we've been putting up there showing the things. And so by the grace of God, we have some handouts that we gave everyone, which just you should have. Green handout, which deals with millennial, deals with the kingdom. It shows post-millennial, amillennial, premillennial. You should have a blue handout, which deals with tribulation, and it gives the different types of the tribulation, different views of the tribulation. You should have sort of a brown one that gives the premillennial, pre-tribulation scheme of history. That's the one that gives us just the big overview of everything. You should have one that, and if you don't have one of these, we'll get you some, one. I think we ran out of some of these. Which one are you needing?
You need the green one.
Green, the green one, okay. And then you should have a light yellow one that says Second Coming Rapture, showing the contrast. And then you have the one that I gave out at the very beginning. Some of you may have already had this one, the definition of eschatological terms, which give us all the different terms that we're studying. So there are five handouts. Some of them we'll have to definitely use today since we don't have the overhead slides tonight today at all. And I hope we have them for the second service. What do you need? Okay, that's extra. Okay. Well, as we continue in our study, this morning we looked last week basically at the kingdom, the millennium, how that fits. We're going to review that quickly, and then we're going to look at the tribulation. So we're going to get into the tribulation today, and we'll see how that fits together and the different views, and we'll talk about all those things. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great morning. Thank you for Jesus Christ and eternal life simply by faith in Him. Thank you that He is working in all of the events, and thank you that all things work according to the counsel of His will, and He's got a perfect plan, especially when we think of end time events. And Lord, we know that one of these days Jesus Christ will come in the clouds and will be taken off the face of the earth, and there'll be that time period in the earth called the tribulation, and then Jesus will come a second time to the earth, and He'll rule in righteousness and justice for 1,000 years at the beginning of the eternal kingdom, the 1,000-year reign, and then there'll be judgment, and then there will be the eternal state of the eternal kingdom. Thank you, Lord, just for those facts and things that we know are coming from Your word. Lord, we just ask You that You would teach us today, especially when we deal not only think about the kingdom, but we deal about the tribulation and how all these things fit. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. As always, if you have questions, comments, anything, just stop me right where we are and say, JB, let me go over this or ask this, and we'll do that. You remember we had four goals of the study. Number one is to understand the terms related to the end time events, terms like tribulation and rapture, millennium and postmillennial, premillennial and tribulation and all that. And that's what that kind of gold handout is. It gives you all the definitions so that you can know them and understand them. Then the second is understand the different teachings about the kingdom, the millennium. We looked at that for the last couple of weeks. We thought there's a postmillennial view, an amillennial view, and a premillennial view. And we'll review that again, but we talked about that so you'll understand how those things fit. The third goal is to understand the different teachings about the tribulation, pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, all of those things. I've got your handout for that as well, and we'll talk about that this morning. And then the last thing is just to be able to put together the end time on a timeline, and that's the big chart it's the brown one, which is basically taking from the first coming of Christ to the church, the rapture, the tribulation, the second coming, the kingdom, great white throne judgment, and eternal state, to be able to put that together. And that's the goal, so you can see how things fit. So that was our goals, the four goals that we had for our study. We said this, and this is, I think, the key, and this always answers the question, because people would say, how come some people interpret the Bible this way and some people interpret the Bible this way? We said that there are two aspects that's going to change how you look at end time events. If you interpret the Bible from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation, and you make a distinction between Israel and the church, you will take things from what we call a premillennial, pre-tribulational view. That's what's going to happen. If you take it from a historical, literal, grammatical view. If you take it from what they call a spiritualization view, where you don't hold literally to some of the passages, especially the prophetic passages, you can have a number of different views. And a lot of people do not make a distinction between the nation of Israel and the church. And I can't remember what it was. I think it might have been last Sunday night or maybe a Wednesday night. And someone raised the question, why is it important that there has to be the kingdom and all of that? Why couldn't we just go on without it? Well, the truth is the promise to David was his greater son would sit on the throne of Israel. If there's not a literal kingdom on this earth, then the promise to David is not true. So there is a reason why there has to be some things fulfilled, because God made promises concerning those things. Now, we started with just a big overview. Let's do this. If you've got the brown one, we're going to go very, very quickly. The brown one says premillennial, pre-tribulational scheme of history. And if you start on the left side of the page, has anybody got one in their hand? If you can, start on the left side of the page. We say it's Old Testament. Everything's looking forward to the cross. Jesus Christ comes at the cross is the first coming, where he comes and he dies and rises again, sends back into heaven. 10 days after he ascends is the day of Pentecost, and the church begins. That's where we are now. So the cross basically is the first coming of Christ. He came to die. We're in the church. Church age is made up of Jew and Gentile. One of these days Jesus is going to come get us. We call that the rapture. He's going to come in the clouds. We'll be taken off the face of the earth. He does not come to the earth. This is not the second coming to the earth. It is a coming in the clouds. We are taken off the face of the earth. We'll be with him seated basically at the judgment seat of Christ. And after we're gone, we don't know what kind of time period it'll be, but there'll be a tribulation time period, 7 years. We'll talk more about that probably next week, but there'll be a 7-year time period called the tribulation, which God deals with his nation of Israel and some other things. And at the end of the tribulation, there is the second coming of Christ. First coming, he comes to the earth to die. Second coming, he comes to the earth to reign. He comes to rule in righteousness and justice. It sets up a kingdom which goes for 1,000 years. By the way, that's premillennial. And he sets up and he rules for 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000 years, there's a battle. We'll talk about that. And then Satan is cast to the lake of fire. Believers, unbelievers stand before the great white throne judgment. Anyone's name not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. And then there's the new heavens, the new earth, and the eternal state. And we sometimes can call that the eternal kingdom. That is the timeline. So what I want you to be able to do, I hope you could, is be able to sit down and say, okay, here's the cross first coming. Here's the church. Here's the rapture. Here's the tribulation. Here's the second coming. Here's the kingdom. Here's that great white throne judgment. And then here's the eternal. You know, that you'd be able to do that and get the flow. So that's what we've looked at for the last several weeks. Then we said, okay, what's important is to understand, first of all, the kingdom end of it, and that is the green one. And I hope you have the green one. And if you notice that there are three major views of the millennium. Now, remember, what does millennium mean? Means a what? 1,000. So the millennium is dealing with that 1,000 years. Now, we get the term 1,000 because in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 7, 7 times he says it will be 1,000 years. So that's where we come up millennial. Now, we said that there's a view called postmillennial, which actually believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross, sent into heaven, and then the believers, the church age, the believers is really the kingdom. And we're going to get everything better and better and better and better and better and establish the kingdom. And we don't know how long it'll last, they say. It could be, you know, 1,000 years, could be 100 years. It doesn't matter. Years are not important. It's just the fact that we rule the world based on God's law. That's how they look at it. And then Jesus Christ comes back. And if you notice on the chart, the second coming and the rapture are the same thing. And when he comes back to the earth or whatever, and there's a general judgment, and then we go on into eternity. That's called a postmillennial view. We talked about it last week. We said that it really doesn't match the scripture, because the scripture doesn't say that in the last times things will get better and better and better and better. It says in the last days what will happen? Things will get worse. So postmillennial view doesn't fit the scripture, but there are people who hold to that. Then there's a view called amillennial, which means no kingdom. They believe that's the middle view that says after Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, he ascends into heaven, and there is a kingdom, and the kingdom is now, or there is no kingdom. They say, you know, if there's a kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom, and it's going on now, and this is the kingdom, or there really isn't a kingdom, that the kingdom's really not on this earth, the church does not establish the kingdom, there isn't one. Israel and the church are the same thing, and we're just going through here. And one of these days, Jesus is going to come back. Nobody knows when. And that'll be the end. And there'll never be a real kingdom like some people think, like we think. That means the promise to David in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 17 is not literal. It's not true. Revelation chapter 20, where it says Jesus comes and he rules and reigns in righteousness for 1,000 years, that's not literally true. It doesn't mean that. That's what they would say. They would say it just doesn't mean that. And so there is no real kingdom. That's why it's called amillennial, which means no kingdom. And then when Jesus comes back, if you notice, the rapture and the second coming are the same thing. And then he comes back. There's a general judgment, general resurrection, separation, and they go on eternity. That's called amillennial. Now, I told you last week that most denominations, most Christians throughout the world hold to an amillennial view. Most do. That may surprise you, but it's true. Most do. If you in this room believe that one day Jesus Christ is going to set up a kingdom and rule in righteousness and justice on this earth, if you believe that, you're in the minority of most Christians in the world. That's because, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but most Christians come from groups that don't hold to a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation of the Bible. They just don't. And they've been taught that, well, there is no real kingdom. I mean, we're in the kingdom now, or something like that. Okay, that takes us to the third view, which is the view we hold to, which is called, he's got written here, premillennial, pre-tribulation view. You can just put premillennial view because we're going to talk about tribulation in a minute. We believe Jesus Christ came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose into heaven, and then rose into heaven. And then there is the church age. And then one of these days, Christ is going to come take us out. There'll be tribulation. And then here's the key. There will be a second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. We as believers will be coming with him. He comes to the earth and establishes a kingdom. He comes before the kingdom. That's why it's called premillennial. Postmillennial, he comes after. Amillennial, there's not one. Premillennial, he comes before, and he comes and sets up a kingdom, and he rules in righteousness and judgment. Of course, this fulfills Psalm 2. It fulfills Matthew 25, 26. It fulfills Revelation chapter 20. It fulfills 2 Samuel 7. It fulfills Zechariah 14. It fulfills all of these passages that talk about Jesus Christ coming as the king and ruling in righteousness and justice. And I mean, it's all throughout the Bible. So to say that it's not going to be, or say that it's a spiritual thing, is to really change a lot of passages. So we hold to the premillennial view that Jesus Christ comes back, sets up a kingdom, and rules for 1,000 years. Now, we call it the 1,000 years because it's called the eternal kingdom in a number of places in 1 and 2 Peter. But sometimes we just call it the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Following that 1,000-year reign of Christ, there will be a judgment, and then we will go. He'll make a new heavens and a new earth, and then we will rule with him for all eternity. That's why sometimes it's called the eternal kingdom. But the first 1,000 years of the kingdom is on this earth. After that, there'll be a new heavens and a new earth, and it'll be an eternal kingdom. That's what we saw last week. We went into the details, and we saw postmillennial, amillennial, premillennial. Okay. Now, let me do this, and then we'll open it for any questions if you have it. We want to talk about the tribulation because remember point number three for us was this, that we want to have an understanding about the tribulation. So look with me for just a second at the postmillennial view. Where is the tribulation? Where's the tribulation? Huh? In the postmillennial view, where's the tribulation? You can say it loud if you want to. There's not one, right? Don't be afraid. There's not one. In fact, it even says no 7-year tribulation. In the postmillennial view, things get better and better and better. There's no tribulation on this earth. Okay, in the amillennial view, where's the tribulation? There's what? There's not one. The only view that holds to a tribulation is the premillennial view. So if when you've read those Left Behind series, or if you've ever thought about somebody saying about a rapture, or if anybody's ever talked about all of that, the only people that hold to that view that there's going to be a rapture and a kingdom and a tribulation are people who hold to a premillennial view. The amillennial people, if you've been in the churches where people hold to an amillennial view, they do not talk about a tribulation or a kingdom. If you've been in the churches that have a postmillennial view, which is fairly rare, they don't talk about a tribulation. They talk about that we're trying to make the kingdom now without the king. But if you've ever been in a church that talked about a tribulation, an antichrist, the man of sin, 666, tribulation and great tribulation and all those things, that's people who look at the Bible from a premillennial view. Because the only view that holds to a rapture is the premillennial view. Okay? Everybody understand that? Okay, are there any questions before we begin to look? And that's why I want you to get in your hand the blue handout that talks about pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, partial rapture view. You see that one? Are there any questions from anybody before we get into the tribulation views? Okay, because I want you to see how that fits. Anything? Everybody sort of got it? You see what we got? You got some that hold to no kingdom at all. You got some that say, we're going to make the kingdom happen without a king. And then there are others, us, who say there's going to be a time when Jesus comes and he sets up the kingdom. Now, if you're going to hold to a tribulation, the only people that hold to a tribulation are premillennial people. So let's talk about tribulation for just a second. And I know talking about the tribulation is not a whole lot of fun, but let's talk about it for a second. The bottom two, called the mid-tribulation view and the partial rapture view, are the two least followed views. Very few people hold these two, but I just want to show them to you. Look at the bottom one first. There are some who believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again. We're in the church. Suddenly, somehow, the tribulation begins. The church is in the tribulation. We as Christians are going through it. There's the Antichrist comes to power and the mark of the beast, and we're running for our lives, and the church is being killed and people being killed all over the world. And then they believe that the partial rapture view says that at certain times Jesus comes and pulls groups out at different times. Now, I'm not sure exactly where they get this. In fact, what they see that the rapture is a reward for living a good life. That's how they look at it. So if you're not a faithful Christian, when the tribulation starts and you're running for your life, you probably get killed. If you're a faithful Christian, maybe somewhere in there, maybe in the first year, the second year, the third year, Jesus will come back and he'll pull different ones off as time goes. To be honest with you, not many people hold to it. A man started, really pushed this view about 5, 6, 8 years ago. He used to hold to what we'd call just the regular pre-tribulational view, and then he changed his mind and said there will be different ways. Then there, I want you to see mid-tribulation view. And this view believes that the church is on the earth, and while we're on the earth, the tribulation begins. That means all of us in this room, that tribulation, let's pretend it began tomorrow, we're running for our lives. And what they believe is that halfway through at what's called the Great Tribulation, halfway through is when the Antichrist, after coming to power and making a peace pact with the nation of Israel, after coming to power, halfway through the 7 years, which is at the 3.5 year mark, he goes to Jerusalem, puts his idol up in the temple, and demands to be worshipped by God. These people who hold to a mid-trib view believes that the church is going to go through halfway through the tribulation, and at that halfway mark, suddenly Jesus will pull us off the face of the earth when this Antichrist comes to power. They use verses, this sounds weird, I know you'll look at this and go, really? They take a Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, where the two witnesses, you remember in Revelation 11, there are two witnesses, and they're witnessing, and what happens to them? They get killed, and they lay in the streets for how long? 3.5 days, is that right? And then they're what? Taken out, and these people say, those aren't literally two people, they represent us. And so as they die, it's like us, and then at 3.5 days, 3.5 years, as they're taken off the face of the earth, we're taken off the face of the earth. That's how a lot of people hold to it. Now, what some people do is they say that the church has got to experience the tribulation, or part of it. It's sort of to purify us, to make us better. That's what they say. So that's a view. Now let me give you another view, which ties in with this one, which is called the post-tribulation view. This view believes that Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, started the church. The church is on the earth, and the church goes all the way through the tribulation. That when we read the book of Revelation, and it talks about in chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and all of the wars and all of the stuff, and a third of the people killed in the sky and the sun and all the ships and the water and everything that you see in the seven seal judgments, the seven vial judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, all of those things. That happens to us. We're on this earth as believers, and we're running for our lives, and there are people who take the mark of the beast, there are those who don't, and many of us are being killed. In fact, most of us are killed. And at the end of the tribulation, if you notice, Jesus Christ comes back, but notice what they do. They have the rapture and the second coming as the what? The exact same event. We have suffered on this earth, running for our lives. Suddenly Jesus comes, we get taken up, and we come right back down. Now that is those who are left, physically alive, because it won't be very many. Because even in the book of Revelation, it says if the days weren't shortened, there would be nobody left. Okay? So that's called a post-tribulation view. So you got a partial rapture, which they go at different times. You got a mid-tribulation that the church goes halfway through and is taken out. You got a post-tribulation view that says we go all the way through it. Then we're taken out, but the rapture and the second coming the same, because when we're taken out, we just go up and meet him and come right back down to the earth. And then the last view, which is the best view, the one that fits the scripture, is called the pre-tribulation view. And that is Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, walks on the earth. I mean, he walks on the earth for 40 days and ascends into heaven. And then the church begins, and we're going along. We don't know how long. It could be any minute now, any second now. And then Jesus Christ comes in the clouds, takes the church off the face of the earth. That's all of us. And then on the earth there is a seven-year, covenant made by this man who comes to power. It's a seven-year deal, and we call it the tribulation because halfway through he breaks his covenant and claims that he's God. All of those things happen. Meanwhile, we as the church are with Jesus Christ, and then we come back with Christ to the earth to set up the kingdom with him. That's the pre-tribulation view. So you got a partial rapture, you got a mid-trib that they're going to go halfway through, you got a post-trib that people go all the way through the tribulation, and then you got pre-tribulation, which means we don't go at all, we're taken out. Okay? Now, let me stop for a second. Are there any questions about the views before I talk to you about why I hold to what I hold to, or why we look at the scripture the way we do and how we see it? I just want you to understand this. Okay? Any questions? Anybody care? But no, I mean, it's good stuff. Any questions or anything? Okay, now, let me tell you some things. Why in the world, let me ask you this question. Why would the church go through the tribulation, or why would the church not go through the tribulation? How would you decide? How do you decide which one of these is right? We're saying, okay, we're going to hold to the fact that there will be a premillennial view that Jesus Christ is going to come back and set up a kingdom. But some say, oh yeah, he's going to come back and set up a kingdom, but before he comes back and sets up his kingdom, there are going to be different believers in the tribulation raptured out. And some say, no, halfway through the believers will be raptured out. Some say all the way through they won't really ever be raptured out. And then some say we'll be raptured out before it ever starts. How do we know? How are we going to know? What do? Well, we have to go to the scripture, don't we? And if you take it from a what kind of view? Historical, literal, grammatical, we find some things. Let me show you some things that might help you. The first one is, I've got a handout for you, and we're not going to go over it today. Some people didn't get it all. There is a difference, first of all, between the rapture and the second coming. I want you to understand that. If you noticed that in the post-trib view, there is no distinction. If you notice between the amillennial view and the post-millennial view, there is no distinction. I want you to understand there is a big distinction between the second coming of Jesus Christ and the rapture. I want to show you that. Well, we've got just a few minutes, and I want to show you something this morning. Now, does anybody have any questions before I get into this? Okay. Okay, let's look at something for a second. There's a distinction between the rapture and the second coming. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at these verses. I told you just to go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians 4 a while ago. 13 through 18 is a powerful passage, and I want you to see what it says. It says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so you will not grieve at the rest who have no hope. Okay, people who, what's those who sleep? What happened to them? They died. Okay, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the bodies are in the grave and the soul and spirit's with the Lord, Jesus Christ. Okay? And here's what he says. Here we are. We're left on this earth. He says, I want you to be uninformed about those. So since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so God will bring with him those who've fallen asleep in Jesus. We say to you by the word of the Lord that we are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who've already fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead and Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him. Where? In the clouds. It doesn't say to the earth. I want you to understand there's a difference between the second coming of Christ in which Jesus Christ comes to this earth and the rapture in which he comes in the clouds. When he comes to this earth, the believers come with him. And when he comes to this earth, there's some changes of the people on the earth. But there are many people who are not changed. See, the rapture says that a person alive when Jesus comes, what happens to them? We're changed. Second coming, a person who's alive when Jesus comes is not changed. And we'll talk about it next time. Okay, that was the first bell. But let me show you something that you may have never thought of. I want to read something to you and just listen. And if we don't get very far in it, we'll get it next week. If you grasp this, it'll change your view. It'll change how you look at the Bible on this particular subject. Listen to this. This is Matthew 24. It says, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage until Noah entered the ark. They didn't understand till the flood came and took them away. So will it be in the coming of the Son of Man." Now listen carefully. "There will be two men in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left." Now, I want you to think with me. All we're going to get to this morning, because I know the bell's going to ring, I just want you to think about this. When the rapture comes and Jesus comes in the clouds, who's going to be taken? Who's going to be left? Believers are going to be taken off the face of the earth. Is that not right? Unbelievers will be left. Matthew 24 is dealing with the second coming of Jesus Christ, because he says, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah." And then he goes on to say that in the days of Noah, he says it'll be just like that. Two people will be in the field, one be taken, one be left. Two will be grinding, one be taken, one be left. In the days of Noah, who was taken, who was left? Who was taken? Who was left on the earth in the flood? Eight people. What happened to the rest of them? They all died. It says, in the second coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, who was left on the earth? Believers or unbelievers? Who? Believers were left on the earth. They got put in an ark. Eight people were preserved on this earth, right? Who got taken at the days of Noah? Unbelievers. In the second coming of Christ, who will be left on this earth? Believers. Who's going to be taken? Unbelievers. Now, remember that. Second coming, who's left? Who's taken? In the rapture, who's left? Unbelievers. Who's taken? Do you see the difference? Now, let me go over it again, okay? Let me go over it again. In the rapture, who's taken off the earth? Who's left on the earth? Unbelievers. In the second coming, who's taken off the earth? Unbelievers. Who's left? Believers to go into the kingdom. And he said, in the days of the coming of the Son of Man will be just like it was in the days of Noah. Who was left on the earth in the days of Noah? Believers. Who was taken off the earth in the days of Noah? Unbelievers. Do you see the difference? Does it make sense? Does anybody care? This is great. Now, if you can see that, because many people will read Matthew 24 and 25, and it'll say, two are grinding, one's taken, one's left. And they think it's the rapture. And they think two people will be out in the field, and one's going to be taken off the earth, and that's rapture. No, no. Who's taken at the coming of the Son of Man? Unbelievers are taken and put to death. Who's left on the earth? The believers to go into the kingdom. Do we have that? I know I'll go over it next week, but I'll have something maybe a little better to show you. But do you get that? Sometime go to Matthew 24, look at the verses, and what the key verse is this: for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. Now, if you say, JB, how do we know that's the second coming? Well, Matthew 25 is talking about the same thing. Verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory with His angels, and He sits on His glorious throne. Is that the second coming or the rapture? Second coming. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Who gets left on the earth? Believers or unbelievers? Believers. Who gets taken off the earth? Unbelievers. In the rapture of Jesus Christ, when He comes in the clouds, who gets taken off the earth? Believers. Who gets left on the earth? Unbelievers. Now, I want you to understand that if we believe that Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds to take us out, we realize, first of all, there is a big distinction between the second coming and the rapture. In the rapture, the believers are taken off the face of the earth, and the unbelievers are left to go into the tribulation. In the second coming, Jesus Christ comes to the earth, and the unbelievers are taken and put to death, and the believers are left to go into the kingdom. Okay? We're going to go more details on that. If you hadn't got it, don't worry about it. A lot of people say, well, I don't think I got it. That's okay. We're going to get it because you have to see this. There is a distinction between those. And I want you to notice something. If you're amillennial, if you're postmillennial, or if you're post-tribulation, you say that the rapture and the second coming are the same event. Am I not right on that? They would say you get taken up and you come back down. I will show you next week that is an impossibility from the Word of God. It cannot happen. And I'll show you why. So you can say, well, it can't happen. It can't be the same event. And I'll show you how next week. Okay, any questions before we stop? Anything? Yeah, Brandon, I know the bell rang, but we'll do this real quickly.
Okay, now when you talk about unbelievers being put to death, or being taken in the kingdom, you're talking about the great white throne judgment.
Talking about right before the kingdom begins. If you read Matthew 24 and 25, there's going to be a separation of the sheep and the goats, but the unbelievers will be put to death then. They're going to go into the Hades, and then they're going to be raised from the dead at the end of the 1,000 years. Believers will go into the kingdom.
Okay, how are they put to death, though?
Jesus Christ slays them with the voice and the power of his mouth.
Okay.
Matthew, Revelation 19, beginning at verse 11. Anything else? We got one more. Yeah, Jerry, let me get that, and then we'll get that one. Then we got to stop because I know time's up.
At the beginning of the 1,000-year reign, then right at the beginning of it, there's no one on the earth except believers.
Exactly. Great point. At the beginning of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there is no one on the earth except believers to go into the kingdom. Now, let me say this. At the end of the 1,000-year reign, there is a rebellion of unbelieving people who side with Satan, who has been bound for 1,000 years. Where did those unbelieving people come from? That's why, and we're going to see next week, that's why you cannot have the rapture and the second coming the same event. And I'll show you how next week. Don't let me forget to tell you that one. Okay.
I guess I'd always interpreted that part in Matthew when he says it'll be like the days of Noah. I always thought he was talking about the world was going to be kind of the same way the world was when Noah was there. And what you're saying is he's talking about the coming is going to be like the way he came in Noah's.
Okay, I think he's talking both. I think you hear what? Did you all hear that? I don't know if he talked loud enough in the mic or not, but he said I always interpreted it to be that the world was going to be the same. Well, it is going to be a wicked world. It is a wicked world now. But I think it's a combination of the world was wicked in the days of Noah. The world is wicked now. I think that's accurate. But I think he's also talking about the coming. It will be the days of Noah will be in the coming of the Son of Man. And that's why he goes into the think about who's going to be left and who's going to be taken. That's why I think he does that. Okay, we'll get some more next week, okay? And we'll get through this tribulation. And then I'm going to show you something from the book of Daniel, which will make all of this come alive. You'll love it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for a great morning. Thank you for these truths. Help us, Lord, as we study this to be able to put it together. Help each one to go back to the Scripture, to look at the passages, especially in the Matthew passage and the 1 Thessalonians, and see how these fit. Help us to have an understanding of how your Word fits together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.